কুঞ্জবিহারী। জয় দাদা মাতব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় গোপী জনবল্লভ গিরিবদ ধারি, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীরবন চারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় নাম সঞ্জয়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, নারায়ণ নমস্কৃত্য নরম চৈব নরোত্তমম্, দেবীম সরস্বতীম ব্যাসম ততো জয়মুদীরয়ে, নষ্টপ্রায়েষু ভদ্রেষু নিত্যম ভাগবত সেবায়া, ভগবতি উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির্ভবতি নৈষিকী, কৃষ্ণায় বাসুদেবায় দেবকী নন্দনায় চ নন্দকোপকুমারায় গোবিন্দায় নমো নমঃ। সো টুডে উই আর গোয়িং টু সি ফ্রম ক্যান্টো 6 চ্যাপ্টার 1 verses 22, 23, and 24. So we'll recite verse number 22, and then further as we go, we'll see how we can go. Bandi akshay kaiva taschaure grihita mrittim astita bibrat kautubam asuchir যাতায়াম আশদেহিনা, বন্দী অক্ষয়কৈব তশ্চৌরে গৃহীতা মৃত্তিম আস্থিতা বিব্রত কুটুম্বম অসুচির যাতায়াম আশদেহিনা, বন্দী অক্ষয়কৈতবশ্চৌরে গৃহীতা মৃত্তিম আস্থিতা বিব্রত কুটুম্বম আসুচির যাতায়াম আশদেহিনা। মাতাই मंदी अक्षताई स्काई समशोरे रीताम वित्ति मास्तितो विव्रत कुटुंबिरा सुची याताया मास्तदेहि नाम। सो व्हाट टू वर्ड मीनिंग बंदी अक्षय बाय अननेसेसरी अरेस्टिंग समवन कैतवय बाय चीटिंग इन गैम्बलिंग और थ्रोइंग डाइस चौरये बाय कमिटिंग थेफ्ट घरेताम कंडेम्ड वृत्तिम प्रोफेशनल्स आस्तित हु हैज अंडरटेकन बिकॉज ऑफ एसोसिएशन विथ ए प्रोस्टिट्यूट बिब्रत मेंटेनिंग कुटुंबम हिज डिपेंडेंट वाइफ एंड चिल्ड्रन असुचि बींग मोस्ट सिनफुल यातायाम आस ही गेव ट्रबल देहीन टू अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत श्रील प्रभुपाद दिस फॉलन ब्राह्मणा अजामिल गेव ट्रबल टू अदर्स बाय अरेस्टिंग देम बाय चीटिंग देम इन गैम्बलिंग और बाय डायरेक्टली प्लंडरिंग देम दिस वॉज द वे ही अर्न्ड हिज लाइवलीहुड एंड मेंटेन हिज वाइफ एंड चिल्ड्रन परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत श्रील प्रभुपाद दिस वॉज इंडिकेट्स हाउ डिग्रेडेड वन बिकम्स simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life and which is followed by meat-eating, gambling and intoxication, one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna. Since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna-conscious person, if illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned. For it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. So we'll read other verses after some time. Om Agyanti Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगारघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहललिता श्रीविशाखावितंश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे बृंदाभनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सिंस सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज आर वेरी न्यू ईयर सो विल जस्ट summarize how we came to this verse. So in the last canto, number 5, where about the universe, all the places and all is given, In the last chapter, Sukhdev Goswami describes about the hellish planets and how they are located. And he told that some say that there are 21 hellish planets and some say that there are 28 hellish planets. So he named all these hellish planets, and they are Tamishra, Andhatamishra, Raurava, Maharaurava, Kumbhipaka, Kala Sutra, Asipatravana, Sukaramukha, Andhakopa, Krimi Bhojana, Sandamsha, Tapta Surami, Vajrakantaka, Shamali, Vaitarni, Puyoda, Pranodara, Vishanna, Lala Bhaksha, Sarameyadhana, Avichi, Ayapana, Sharakardama, Rakshona, Bhojana, Sulaputra, Dandashuka, Avata Nirodhana, Paryavartana, and Suchimukha. So these all planets are meant for punishing living entities which live on this earthly planet. And so he told all this about these planets and how they are being trapped there and how they have been punished. And Panishik Maharaj was very alarmed. He was very compassionate. The compassion arose in him. And he thought that how can the living entities be saved from this going to hellish planets. And therefore, he wanted to ask to Sukhdev Goswami. So first he summarizes everything what he had heard before, the path of Niriti Marg, Pravritti Marg, and how the hellish planet is and other things also. And then he asked that, kindly tell me how humans can be saved from having to enter the hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pain. So he asked, Adunena Mahabhaga Yathaiva Narakan Nara Nanroga Yatatan Nayat Tanme Vyakhyatam Arasi. So please tell us that how these living entities can be saved from this terrible suffering which they have to go. So naturally, if you see, devotees are very merciful, and here we see how Sukhdev Goswami is also very compassionate and he thinks about all. And therefore, the answer which is given by Sukhdev Goswami is to do Karmakand atonement. But after hearing the Karmakand atonement, Parikshit Maharaj is not very convinced and he says that this is not very good. Because it's like an elephant taking bath. Once elephant takes bath, then he takes bath very nicely, but again he comes out and puts all the dust on him. So, one who does karma kand again is victimized by the sinful life. So, Prabhupada writes in Purport 9, सगळे मराठी आहे सगळे मराठी हिंदी ये आप हिंदी क्या करना है प्रभु जी शुड वी ट्रांसलेट और शुड वी स्पीक हिंदी सो आदि केशव प्रभु कैन ट्रांसलेट इन हिंदी तो आपको ट्रांसलेट कर देंगे हिंदी में बता देंगे आप उनके साथ बैठ सकते हैं So Prabhupada is saying purport that the word vivasha is used here, indicating that even one who does not want to commit sinful acts will be forced to do so by habit. So gradually if you do something, it becomes a habit in the long run, and after it becomes a habit, it's very difficult to break that habit. And therefore Prabhupada explains here that the sinful tendencies have now become a habit and very difficult to break on our own strength. And we require the strength which only can be given by Krishna, and therefore this karma kand atonement is not very useful. And then Parikshit Maharaj rejects his path, and Sukadeva Goswami is very happy that Parikshit Maharaj has understood. But then he again want to test his disciple, and he says that you do jnana kand, or you prashit by jnana, atonement by jnana. And again Parikshit Maharaj says that no, this is also not very possible. And just like the roots of bamboo are first, they are burned, all the grass and everything, but as soon as the first opportunity comes, it will again grow. So therefore, even after practicing, sins may reappear. So the propensity to sin may be there. And wherever there is a natural environment, then again it will grow. And therefore, this is not very tasteful. So then, after seeing that Parikshit Maharaj is dissatisfied, then Sukadeva Goswami speaks the real essence or the real solution to the according to devotees. And he says, Kevalya, Kechit Kevalya Bhaktya, Vasudeva Parayana, Agam Dunvanti Katsena, Niharam Iva Bhaskaram. So only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can completely uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they can revive. So only bhakti can uproot not only the sins but the desire to sin. Because desire is the main cause for us coming into this material world. And desire is the main cause we can go back to Godhead. The desire has to be changed towards Krishna. And therefore, this can only be done by bhakti. This is what Prabhupada tells. And then one can say, oh, but what about the austerities done by jnana kand and karma kand? We do so many austerities with tapa and all. What about that? Is it not that useful? So then it says that the one cannot be purified by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya and other methods of atonement I have previously described. So here Sukadeva Goswami himself tells that the methods which I have described before will not work, and therefore bhakti is the only process by which we can get purified. And in purport, Prabhupada explains that the word Krishna Arpita Prana refers to a devotee who dedicates his life to serving Krishna, not to being saved from the path to hellish life. So he doesn't want to be saved from hellish life, but he serves Krishna. A devotee is Narayan Prayana or Vasudeva Prayana, which means that the path of Vasudeva or devotional path is his life and soul. So this is how we deal. So we only work for Krishna or Narayana. And Narayan Prana Sarve Na Kushashana Bibhyati. So we have heard this, that such a devotee is not afraid of going anywhere. So there is a path. There is a path towards liberation in the higher planet systems and a path towards heli planets. But a Narayan Prana devotee is unafraid wherever he is sent. He simply wants to remember Krishna wherever he may be. So this is a higher standard. So first we come to devotional service, then first our aim is to get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. But if he goes more higher in his devotional service and he becomes more mature and all, then going back to Godhead also doesn't matter to him, and he just wants to serve Krishna, and wherever Krishna sends him, he is very happy. And this we have heard from different prayers like Prahlad Maharaj also, who tell that I don't want to go back to Godhead, but I want to help the living entities get liberation. So when a devotee is put into hellish condition, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tattenu kampa sushyamanam. So even when a devotee is put into hellish condition, he accept is Krishna's mercy. So this principle is very crucial for a life of sadhaka. Till the time we cannot understand this one principle, that how is Krishna's mercy, whatever is coming in your life, it's very difficult to proceed in devotional service. I myself have struggled so many times to understand. But recently, in one of our class, we were discussing the life of Prahlad Maharaj and the life of Vritrasura. So if you see the life of Vritrasura, he got a body of a demon, and the demons were not supporting him in the war. They were running away. And the demigods were against him, and they were fighting with Vritrasura. And who has made the plan of killing him? Vishnu has made the plan. So the Lord whom Vritrasura is serving has made a plan of killing him. Suppose we are staying here, and somebody is making plans for disturbing us, or somebody making plan to beat us, or blaspheme us, or do something wrong us. We'll be alarmed. We'll do so many things against. We'll tell something and do something, and do so many. After we'll not be very pleased also. But here, Vishnu is doing a plan to kill Vritrasura. He's with the demigods and telling how we should kill Vritrasura. He's giving a whole plan to demigods. And for that, another devotee is also being killed, that is Dadichi Muni. So see the circumstance in which Vritrasura is being put. And then, apart from them, Vritrasura is very sure that he will meet the death. And still, he has faith in Vishnu and tells Indra, "Why are you worrying? Just kill me and you will be victorious." So he is the person who is perfectly understood this verse. So most of the times we may hear the things, we may hear the subject matter, we may hear it repeatedly. Faith develops when we hear repeatedly, but it doesn't mean that we have understood the subject thoroughly. Understanding goes on a very deep level, which requires long study as well as experience. And if you see why Sudh Goswami or Sukhdev Goswami were the person who were being the one who was selected for giving this knowledge, it was told that they not even heard, but they have understood. It was not just Gyan, it has become Vigyan for them, and therefore they are the persons who are qualified to speak Bhagavatam. And therefore he does not protest. "Oh, I am such a great devotee of Krishna. Why have I been put into such misery?" So such is not the attitude of devotees. And instead he thinks this is Krishna's mercy. Such is an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in service of Krishna's representative, and this is the secret of success. So if somebody wants what is the secret of success in devotional life, the Prabhupada has disclosed in this purport. And then in verse number 17, he said that this path is followed by pure devotees who are well behaved, virtuous, and surrendered to Lord Narayan is certainly the most auspicious path, is free from fear. So we want examples also, because Sukadeva Goswami told that you follow this path. We may okay, we follow, and this is the most important path. But we want to know who has gone through this path. Like suppose there is some class to be given. So most of it, what do they do is, what was previously spoken in this class, they will just refer to that before speaking, and here gather from facts and everything, so that they follow the devotees who have spoken before, and that is the safest path. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is not telling just to follow the path. He's also telling that no, don't worry. Previously, so many of the stalwart devotees have followed this path, and therefore do not fear. Because most of the times we may fear, oh, if we follow the path and if we don't get success, then what will happen? Our life will waste. We may get some peace, we may live a life which is sattvic, but what is, if we don't reach the goal, then what is the use of this life? or what is the use of this process? So this may be a question. So therefore, Sukhdev Goswami very convincingly answers this query of Sukhdev Goswami of Parikshit Maharaj. And Prabhupada writes in this purport also that Mayavadis generally allege that the bhakti path is for women and illiterates. And this is groundless accusation. So sometimes Mayavadis say that we should hear, study, what is this, you are always chanting and reading, chanting and dancing and all. So this is not for a intelligent person. So the bhakti path is followed by the most learned scholars such as Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu and Ramanujan. These are the actual followers of bhakti path. So these are people who have actually followed the bhakti path, and therefore this path is being followed by most important persons. So what is the difference between Mayavadis and devotees? So Mayavadis may be Sushila Sadhava, well-behaved saintly persons. They are very well-behaved. If you speak to Mayavadis, they will speak very softly, very nicely. But there is nevertheless some doubt about whether they are actually making progress, for they have not accepted the path of bhakti. On the other hand, those who follow the path of acharyas are Sushila and Sadhava, but furthermore, their path is Akuto Bhaya, which means free from fear. One should fearlessly follow the 12 Mahajanas in the line of disciplic succession and thus be liberated from the clutches of Maya. So not only the path of bhakti is well behaved or Sushila, but it is also free from fear, which is not there for Jnana Kand or Karma Kand, which is highlighted by Prabhupada in this purport. And then in verse number 20, verse number 18 also, he gives another example how if liquor is put in the pot, then even by washing it cannot go. So other process will not help. And then therefore, verse number 19, again, he stresses this point repeatedly. Sakrin mana Krishna padarvindayor, that person who only absorbed once their mind in Krishna's field, do not see Yamaraj even in dreams. So first he speaks the statement. So this is the way how it is presented, and it should be presented naturally. So first it is spoken, then other questions are being answered directly by Sukhdev Goswami, knowing that, oh, this may be the doubt which the person may have, this may be. And again he reiterates or re-clarifies or again states his portion that no. So because I have said this A, B, C, then logically it's proved that bhakti is only the path and we should do bhakti. And if you see Bhakti Vinod Thakur and all, they write their books in this way, write question answers and the way it's good. So then he says, oh, let it be. Even once remembering the Lord is sufficient. What to speak of many times? Means he is not making bhakti very easy and very the only path, but he is saying even if once somebody speaks, na, that is also sufficient. So even thinking within the mind is sufficient, what to speak of hearing or uttering his name. Even the materially attracted man, tad guna ragi, is sufficient. What to speak of a mind whose material without material attraction. Thinking even in dream is sufficient, what to speak of actual meditation. So if one thinks in even in dream, it's also sufficient. But we know if something comes in dream, it has to take a long time. It has to be meditated and then only it comes to dream. So this is how Prabhupada says. And therefore, to substantiate what has been told, he gives a reference from Purana and says that in regard, a wise old incident involving a discussion between Vishnudatta and Yamdutta has been described. So this is there in verse number 20. And this also Prabhupada explains very nicely in purport, that today's textbooks and modern books, if they speak about Purana, they say it's mythological. So the Puranas or Odysseys are sometimes neglected by unintelligent men who consider their descriptions mythological. But actually, the descriptions of Puranas or all histories of the universe are factual, although not chronological. So the one thing is, the histories, if you see even our Bhagavatam, if you see the Krishna Leela in the 10th canto, it's not chronological, but it's factual. So, most devotees are not very concerned with chronological, because we know in spiritual world also time is absent. But we are more concerned with facts, what are the main things. And if you see Bhagavatam also,
Not many incidents are described, but most important incidents are only described. If we see the lives of devotees like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, only the most important the incidents are only been described. And therefore, the Puranas record the chief incidents that have been occurred over the millennia of years, not only on this planet but also on other planets within the universe. Therefore, all learned and less Vedic scholars speak with reference to incidents in the Purana. So, this is how it has been taken, and therefore, this incident is to, being told. And for this incident to prove that how holy name is most wonderful and all, today's verse is then again told in verse number 21, that how is fallen. Today's 22 verse, that he was so fallen that how would he maintain his family? He would maintain his family by troubling others, arresting them, cheating them, and then gambling or by directly plundering them. So these are the ways in which Ajamil maintained his own life and his life of his family. And in today's purport also, if we see, Srila Prabhupada has very highlighted the fact that the root cause of all the problems is illicit sex. Because of that, all these thieves, rogues, and all other things in the society flourish, or it gives more impetus for to them, and therefore it should be curtailed. And with that follows gambling and other drinking and all things, and therefore it should be curtailed. And then in verse number 23, he says, "My dear king, while he thus spent his life in abominable sinful activities to maintain his family and sons, 88 years of his life passed by." So, this is the way how sense gratification goes. When somebody is engrossed in sense gratification, we cannot imagine how time goes. Cannot. Will not even know how we are becoming old. And therefore, if we see today's world also, now if we see movies, or if we see people who are watching so many things, 3-4 hours just pass by within seconds. We even don't come to know. And this is the power of sense gratification. And therefore, if we see Bhagavatam and all, it is again and again condemned. Sense gratification is condemned again and again and again and again, so many times. And seeing this life of Ajamil also, now his life is, his 88 years have been passed. So, if you see again Bhagavatam, his whole life is not described. What is done in one or two words, it described that, oh, he was so sinful, and now 88 years of his life has been passed. And now what has happened is 88 years of life is very important for us to know. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is now highlighting that old man Ajamil had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby named Narayana. Since Narayana was youngest of all sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. So children are very dear to father and mother. Nowadays also we see, just by their awkward speech, their movements, they bring joy to their parents. And Ajamil was also no exception. But the only problem is, he has spent 88 years of his life. Now he is in old age, about to die. So purport Prabhupada speaks, the word pravayasya indicates that Ajamil's sinfulness, because although he was 88 years old, he had a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave their home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years between the ages of 25 and 45, or at most 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as a vanprastha, and then properly take sannyasa. Ajamil, however, because of his association with a prostitute, lost all Brahmanical culture and became most sinful even in his so-called household life. So we were to be com why I have taken this purport is we are going to complete till this verse was given. So we taken this verse also. So here Prabhupada talks about Varnashram and how Varnashram life has to be followed, and this is the way how we follow 25 years education, then 25 years grihastha life, then 25 years vanprastha, and last 25 years sannyas. So this is how it has been done and is written. And Prabhupada also writes at many places. Apart from other living entities, the living being in the human form of body is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunction terms of divisions of Varna and Ashram. A human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashram, otherwise he cannot accept the punishment of Yamaraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of Brahmana, the most intelligent man, and then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. So this whole system of punishment is only applicable to human beings in the earthly planets. The animals don't go to this punishment and all this. And I think a few days back, Nimai Leva Prabhu very beautifully explained this progression and why it's the mercy of Krishna that human beings are being sent to hell, so they are being reformed and they can be again be brought to good condition of life. And again, in Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Verse 10, Prabhupada writes, the grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of situation is called Daivi Varnashram. One of the objectives of the Krishna conscious movement is to establish the Daivi Varnashram, but not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. So in this way, if all of together come grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, sannyasis, then all can go back to Godhead, and is what is told. Then again in Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, 54 verse, Lord Ramchandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal law of Lord Ramchandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householder, brahmacharis or vanaprasthas, are all equally important. So this is one important principle we should understand, that nobody is higher or lower. Sometimes we hear that brahmachari is better than grihastha or some other varna is better. But in general, whoever has bhakti is greater and who has bhakti is the best. So the ashram doesn't matter much, bhakti matters, and whoever practices bhakti in whatever ashram one may be in is best, and one should take information or knowledge or guidance from that person is okay. So this is how Varnashram is there, and further it will be described that how he was attached and then Yamdut arrive, and Yamdut want to take, and that time Ajamil takes the name of the son Narayan, and because of taking his name, Vishnu will appear and Ajamil is being saved, and this will be described further detail in further days to come. But one important point here is that Ajamil was saved because his son was named as Narayana and he was to speak Narayan often. So this this culture of speaking the Lord name we can adopt as devotees, and we can spread in general. Like in when we call somebody or somebody calls, we say hello or hi or something. Instead of that, we can say Hare Krishna. Or this is one important, this is one very small thing which we can do in order that many people can be saved from hellish life. And this can be done. So today is also a very important day, and today is disappearance day of Srila Purushottam Das Thakur. Disappearance. disappearance. नहीं भक्त भक्ति सिद्धांत सब जो अपीयरेंस है पुरुषोत्तम दास ठाकुर का डिसेप्रेंस डे. सो टुडे इज डिसेप्रेंस डे ऑफ श्रीला पुरुषोत्तम दास ठाकुर. सो विल जस्ट डिस्कस अबाउट हिम फॉर 2-3 मिनट्स एंड देन अबाउट श्रीला भक्ति सिद्धांत सब ठाकुर फॉर हिज डिसेप्रेंस डे एंड विल थस एंड दिस क्लास ऑन टाइम. सो the 23rd and 24th prominent devotees of Nityan Prabhu were Sadashiv Kaviraj and his son Pushottam Das, who was the 10th Gopal. So Pushottam Das was a coward by boy Stoker Krishna in Krishna Leela. So he became Stoker Krishna in Krishna Leela. And since birth, Pushottam Das was merged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Nityan Prabhu, and he was always engaged in the childish play with Lord Krishna. So this is how he spent his days. And Sri Sadashiv Kaviraj was extremely fortunate. His son name was Sri Pushottam Das. So his father is Sadashiv Kaviraj. He was never externally conscious of his material body, and Nityan Chandra enacted many pastimes from within his heart. So Nityan Prabhu used to manifest many pastimes from within his heart. And then Sri Pushottam Thakur had three main disciples, Sri Madhvacharya, Sri Yadavacharya and Devki Nandan Das, who were born in Kulina Brahmana families. And further, we see that Madhvacharya married Nityan Prabhu's daughter, Ganga Devi, and Devki Nandan was the author of the book Vaishnava Vandana. And Pushottam Thakur's Sripad was previously at Sukhsagar. Now the deity is at Chandragram. So now the deities are at Chandragram. And the temple is known as Vasu Janva also, because one of the son, that is Kanai Thakur, was adopted by Sri Janva, and therefore the deity's name has come to Vasu Janva. So these are the things. So this is about some soft description of Sri Pushottam Das Thakur because of his disappearance. And now we'll discuss something about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appearance day. So today is the most auspicious day. So last time we had discussed some of his instructions given by him around some for us to follow. So today we'll discuss some of his pastimes, because pastimes are more easy to hear and understand as the instructions and more relatable. Sometimes instructions are very difficult for us as we have a very false ego. So it was on February 6, 1874 AD that Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world in the Karkata Lagna or the astrological Lagna of Cancer. So at birth, the umbilical cord was wrapped itself around the body like a Brahmana thread, leaving a mark which remained clearly visible throughout his life. So with the birth only this had come, and even as young boy, due to the size of his large brain, Vimala Prasad had a large head in proportion to his body. So he had a very large brain, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. And his body was decorated with all signs of Mahapurusha as described in Shastras. So there are around 32 symbols of a Mahapurusha which was there in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Alila 14.50. So there are 32 body symptoms of a great person. Some are large, some fine, some 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad and 3 grave. And this all we see in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that how he had all these bodily symptoms. So now we'll discuss some of his pastimes. So once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was only just 5 or 6 years old, and he was with his father Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he went to visit one sadhu named Swarup Das Babaji in Puri. So when they met, so this Babaji became very critical of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Seeing the appearance of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he told, "You have no neck beads, no tilak, so you are not a Vaishnava, and you don't even wear a Vaishnava dress. How is it?" So This is how Swarup Das addressed Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And just hearing this, Vimala Prasad could not become content at the age of 5 or 6 also, because at the age of 5 we will not even understand what is being spoken. So he replied, my father is a Ajanma Vaishnava, Janmagata Vaishnava, he is a born Vaishnava, and without outward sign, doesn't need outward signs for becoming Vaishnava. And when Babaji heard this, he was very impressed with this young boy, that such a tender age he had explained such a highly philosophical point. So a Vaishnava is not ascertained by dress, external dress only. That doesn't mean that we should not wear kantimala and all, but that is not all in all a sign of a Vaishnava. It should be internally also a Vaishnava. This is what is being told here. Then one of the stories told by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati about a Mayavadi Upasak. So once they were going on a train, and there was one impersonal Brahmana who thought that everything is one. And then he was telling story that how this person gave a loan to another person, and the another person was not ready to repay the loan. He was not giving the loan back only. So many days passed, months passed, and so many requests was made by this Mayavadi Brahmana, but the other person was not giving the back only. Then finally this matter was took to the court in the Madras, and the court, the money, this matter was going on, and this person told that he has taken my money, has not given back. And the other person who told, you are Brahma, I am Brahma, so we both are Brahma, so money is passed from Brahma to Brahma, so money is with Brahma, then what is the difference? What is the point of arguing? So why are you asking for money? So money is with Brahma, Brahma is with you only. Argument finished. So like this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was making a joke of the person, and I was telling the story of the Mayavad. Then how this Prabhupada title came to him. So actually he was not ready to take this Prabhupada title, but one is of his Vyas Puja ceremony, an offering was written by his very elevated disciple and very scholar disciple Ananta Vasudev, and in which he termed the word Prabhupada was used. And thereafter Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gradually accepted this term, and it went on. So among the very favorite songs of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur are from his Bhaktivinoda Thakur song Gopinath from Kalyan Kalpataru, the three series, then Radha Krishna Bol from Gitavali, then Jai Radha Madha from Gitavali, and Shri Naam Kita from Ketan from Gitavali, and Radha Kunda Tata Kunja Sukutira. So these are the favorite songs of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And do you know what is the famous sloka of which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur liked a lot, and he quoted also? Recently when I was hearing a class from Amrinder Prabhu, and he was quoting this sloka, that how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur likes this sloka very much, and he started his class with this sloka. So this is from Canto 12, chapter 12, verse number 55. Avismita Krishna Padar Vindayur Shinoti Abhadrani Chasam Santanoti Sattvasya Suddhim Paratma Bhaktim Jnanam Chavigyanam Virage Yuktim. So remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur often quoted many slokas, but this particular was his favorite, and this is also mentioned by one of his disciple Jyoti Shekhar also. So it's ordered. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur are always very particular about cleanliness. I am seeking for my own sake, because I am not very particular about this. So He was saying that cleanliness is next to godliness. Unless you are sattvic, you cannot be pure. And therefore his table, chair, seat, everything had to be kept neat, clean and tidy. And he would bathe no less than 3 times a day, changing his clothes each time he did. So which was when he woke in the morning, before his midday meal and again in the evening. And he would not use soap or oil. And if anything is untouched, is clean to his hand, his leg or foot, or before using his japmala, he would do achman with a cup, and that is always kept near. So nowadays devotees keep this with them. I have seen with this, they do with this. This is a modern day achman. So today only I took from the toiletries. As you know, I read this. It's brought on. So this is how it is done. And then before taking Mahaprasad, he would wash his hands. And if Jagannath Mahaprasad was brought to him, he would put his obeisances, do parikrama of that prasad 3 times, and then only he will take honor it. So this is how was his standard. Then regarding his dressing standards, so he would, it was only for preaching purpose or special functions that he would dress extravagantly, as the case of one function in Madras, where we see one of the photo that he's wearing a gown and some very nice clothing with English style shoes made in India and turban and all. Otherwise, he would wear very simple cloth, and sometimes disciple would hold umbrella on him. Then he also used to have one bodyguard, and his name was Mocha Singh. So this was a paid bodyguard by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So he was very tall and strong, and every night he would consume at least 28 to 30 chapatis only. And this was not for danger, but he was kept for analyzing the Pesi or Saraswati Thakur, so that everybody know that he's like this. So like this, many of things he did. But as the time is being done, so we'll just pause here. And he had very much faith on holy name, so he chanted more than 1 billion of holy names in a hut. And we'll know how we did it. And that is the conclusion of this also. Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam Evakilam, Kare Nasi, 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 Kare Anidham. So, thank you very much for your patient hearing, listening. If there are some quick questions or some comments or some corrections or some observations or anything which you'd like to share or suggest, feel to tell, or otherwise we'll discuss further pastimes off the mic. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai, Hare Krishna. लिखा है ना उसके उसमें वो गोपीनाथ वाला